everyone, it's Grace. And I'm not going to tell you about my calendars because they are sold out. Thank you so much to all who purchased them. I really hope they make your 2021 a bit nicer. For those of you who feel like you missed your chance, I do want to let you know that I have just put up an Etsy shop where you can get affordable prints and cards of my work. I'm probably only going to keep the shop open for the holiday season, so if you see something you like, it's probably best just to get it as soon as possible. The link to my shop will be in the show notes. Thanks so much, and now on to our show.
Hi, I'm Alvina Ling.
And I'm Grace Lin.
And we're Book Friends Forever.
We're childhood friends that grew up to be
a children's book editor
and an author and illustrator.
Welcome to Book Friends Forever, the Looking Back on 2020 episode. Every week we catch up with each other's lives, talk about what's on our minds, and share with each other what we're grateful for.
And check out our website, bookfriendsforever.com. The website will include more detailed show notes as well as links to the episodes.
And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I actually just checked recently, and I don't think we had a new review since August. So please, please send in your reviews. And if you enjoy our podcast, please tell a friend about it.
Also, please fill out our survey. You can find it on our website and on our social media. Thank you, everyone who has already filled it out. Your feedback has been so helpful. And we're thinking about what changes we'll make to the podcast in the new year.
Right. And with that said, we should mention that this will be our last episode of the year. We'll be taking 2 weeks off, and the next episode should drop on January 7th. So thank you, everyone, for listening and subscribing this year. We've really appreciated it. So, Grace, how have you been?
I've been actually, you know, pretty good. It's all things considered. I know we're still in the middle of a pandemic, and we're actually going through a terrible surge in the pandemic, but in my own little bubble, like, things are actually chugging along really well. This past week, I did a couple of virtual school visits, and they went great. I had a really, really good time. It's really funny because at the beginning of the pandemic, all the authors were saying, okay, we have to do virtual visits. And they were saying, okay, I offer this, I offer that. And I kind of was really slow to make any virtual school visit offerings because I feel very, very confident about my in-person school visits. You know, I feel like when I give an in-person school visit, I give them something that no other author can give them. I give them something that they need me to be there. Like, that's why I always have a very interactive presentation. Like, I do a reader's theater, or I do, we do draw-alongs, like always something very unique and interactive. That is why it's worth having me there in person. So that's why I was like, oh no, what can I do for virtual visits that will make it still feel special? Mm-hmm. And so it took me a long time to figure out how to do it. And I finally figured out how to, like, kind of crack that nut kind of thing. So, and I feel really like I figured out a whole new presentation, and I reworked it, and I did them last week, and they went great. And I'm, like, really proud of them, and I'm really, like, happy and excited. And having these visits, like, under my belt, like, and feeling confident about that has really made me feel better overall. Like, I think I've been really nervous about income streams, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what can I do to earn money? Because virtual visits, I don't know how to do them. And, like, school visits are out. But now I feel like, okay, I still have that skill. I can do a virtual visit. I can do a good one now. And so that's been a really big kind of, I guess, a really big high for me. Like, I felt like it's made me feel like, okay, a piece of the puzzle is clicked in. So I feel really happy about that.
That's great.
How about you?
I've been doing well. I'm wrapping up at work. Let's see. So we're recording this on Monday, December 14th. So I have this week, and then next week is a partial week. Our off quote unquote offices are closed starting at 1 p.m. on the 24th. And then I'm off until January 4th. So I'm determined to get inbox zero before I leave, which I will. And I'm actually getting ready to move back to Brooklyn.
Yay!
Yeah, Stephen and I are moving back for the new year. So we'll start the 2021 in Brooklyn, which we're excited about.
That's good. I haven't sent any of your Christmas presents because I'm like, I don't know where she's going to be. So you'll just have to get them in the new year.
Yep. That's fine. So because this is our last episode of 2020, we are going to be looking back at 2020 and what a year it has been. So we wanted to go back and look at what our goals were for the year and see how we've done. So we actually both went back and listened to our looking back, looking forward episode at the beginning of January.
Yeah, that was kind of like a trip down memory lane. I listened to it and I was like, wow, we sound so full of hope.
I know.
So full of hope and innocence. Like, I feel like now I feel so like ragged and haggard compared to how we sounded then. It's so funny.
It's funny because on that episode, I talked about like going to happy hour drinks with coworkers. And I'm like, oh, now it's all on Zoom if we do it at all.
I know. Well, what were some of your goals for the year? Do you remember?
Yes. So, well, I wrote this down after listening to the episode. So I guess I had four main ones. And the first was to find a life partner.
Well, so, that worked out.
I know. I mean, it has been one of my goals for previous years, but it's nice. Yes, that one worked out. And then I talked about just wanting to help to balance my life a little, work on the balance a little bit more, like between health and travel and relationships and work. And I don't know. I mean, travel, obviously, I haven't really been able to do, but I did get to go to Mexico on vacation right before everything shut down. And, you know, I guess kind of being in Burlington is a form of travel. And definitely I've been prioritizing health this year. So, you know, I think I kind of achieved that one. And then the other two, one was to solve my work email problems, which I wrote, ha ha. And then the last one was to get my condo all set up the way I want it. And I did a little work on that, but, you know, obviously also just being in Burlington for half the year prevented me from doing that. But, you know, I think in the new year, that's something that I can prioritize for next year. How about you? What were your goals?
It's funny because I listened to that episode and I don't think I talked too much about like personal goals. It was mainly work goals, right? So I said I want to write novels again because I had taken such a big break from novels because it's all because of the 2016 election where like when that happened, I kind of felt like the novels that I was writing was just reinforcing stereotypes of Asians, like as Asians as the others. But starting in 2020, the beginning of 2020, I'm starting to feel more like I can write novels again, mainly because there have been so many other Asian American authors who have just exploded onto the scene and done amazing. So, I mean, I think for a long time, I think I felt like I was one of the very few Asians. So I felt like all of my stuff had an undue importance. Now I don't think it's that important anymore.
That's nice. It's kind of the pressure of the single story is.
Yeah. And so now I feel like, okay, I can do it now. I have started to write a novel. That's why I started that writer's group with, I mentioned earlier, with Kate Milford and Jonathan Oxier, and actually a new person joined our writer's group, Laurel Snyder. And so that's been really good. So I'm thinking by the end of 2021, I will have a novel written.
Hooray. That's exciting.
I know. So that's my, I guess, that's my looking forward. Okay, but keeping looking back, you said do another, I think I said I would do another picture book in that kind of fadeaway style that I did A Big Moon Cake for Little Star and A Big Bed for Little Snow, and that is what I'm working on right now. So that is happening. So that's the picture book I'm working on right now. Though I think the title is still in flux. I think we're calling it Once Upon a Story, but I'm hoping that we can change it to Once Upon a Book. But regardless, the illustration is that fadeaway style that I've been working on, and I think my last resolution or hope was to have my own personal definition of success. And I remember one of the things I kept repeating was to have my own personal definition of success and to be confident about it. Like, that's mm-hmm. a big thing. Like, I feel like I can have my own definition, but, like, I'm always a little bit like, maybe. And I think that's going to be a work in progress. But I think that, honestly, the silver lining of this pandemic has been, like, I've been home a lot, and I have had less fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I haven't felt like, oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. That's what successful people do, or, like, that's what will make me more successful. Like, now I can't do any of those things, and I'm like, oh, this feels good. So that's been kind of nice. So it's been nice to have the pause and to maybe hopefully use that this time to really try to make a personal definition that sticks and feels good with a good foundation. So
right, I'm curious that when the world opens up again, if that feeling will maintain or if you'll slide back into old patterns.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. Well, I think I'm still kind of building a foundation for a personal definition. So I guess the goal is to try to get that foundation as strong as possible before the pandemic ends.
Right. And I think I remember on the podcast you said that was your 10-year goal, because we, you know, actually last year we were looking back at the whole decade, I think. Mm. So we were kind of both looking forward to the year and also kind of the next decade. So you have time.
Oh, good.
I also looked back at what my resolutions and aspirations were. I don't know if you did this, but I don't know if we ever shared them on the podcast. So, but it was just interesting. I'm not going to name them all, but I just thought I would kind of talk about the ones that I did not meet. So for one, and I had categorized them by the kind of categories of happiness that we had talked about. So physical, mental, social, and spiritual. So, like, one of my physical resolutions was to have at least 3 vegetarian or pescatarian days a week. Mm. And I did do that, I would say, for the first 4 months of the year. And then when the pandemic happened and it was kind of hard to get fresh food without going to the store, I joined some of those meal kit delivery kits. And, you know, I tried to do vegetarian meals when I could, or vegetarian meals, but there was one called Freshly that was very meat focused. Like, I think they only had one non-meat based meal. And I think I just decided, you know what, I need to just prioritize healthy, fresh food when I can. And so I kind of gave that resolution up, but I'm excited going back to Brooklyn now and maybe starting that anew in 2021. Do you remember any of your resolutions?
Yeah, I was just, you might have heard like papers rustling in the back, 'cause I was like grabbing my notebook and I was like, oh, like I had a word for the year. Did you have a word for the year?
I don't remember, actually.
We'll have to do that for next year.
Yeah.
So I had nourish and flourish. I think I'm going to use that again for next year, too, honestly, because I kind of feel like this, we didn't really get to finish 2020. So, I have my big fail. Go to a museum at least 3 times, which I thought was going to be like a really doable like a really completely doable, easy resolution to do. I guess if you count the Carl Museum, which I go to fairly often, maybe that's fine. But I personally don't think that counts. I think I meant 3 like museums that I don't often go to. So, and that's because I even had bought tickets for us to go see like the Infinity Room, at the Brooklyn Museum, but that got canceled. So I tried, but I failed at that one.
You know, I just went back and I did have a word of the year, which obviously I did not keep because I did not remember, but I had picked courage.
Oh, interesting.
But that actually leads to one of my other resolutions that I did not keep. So I guess with mental, under the mental category, I said that I wanted to try something new and challenging. And, you know, the goal was something that took me out of my comfort zone. So I said something like take a certain class or publish essays or write a book or compose a song. And I didn't do any of that. But I think I picked courage because of the, partially because of the Carl Honors, you know, that was something that was completely out of, I guess, both of our comfort zones, and that I felt like was one of the highlights of that year. So,
yeah, that was fun. I know. It seems like such a long time ago.
It does. I mean, so maybe, well, I'll have to think of, yes, my word of the year for this year, if it'll be courage or something else.
I've said, I want to create my best creative work. And I said, use the nighttime question log, which usually you if you have a creative problem, you write a question at night, and it's supposed to, when you wake up in the morning, it's supposed to like help you.
That's cool.
I didn't do that. But that was my goal, but I didn't do it. I think I did it like once or twice, but I think it's easier to do that when you're writing a novel. For when I was painting, I was like, I don't really have a creative question. Like, should I use green? But I think I'm going to try to do that. Now that I'm writing novels again, I will do that now.
Maybe I'll use that for work. I think every now and then I have like a work problem that I just, you know, don't have time to really think about. So maybe I'll start that. That's a good idea. One of my other, so under social, one of the resolutions that I did not keep was have at least one dinner party for dear friends, which, you know, because of the pandemic that didn't happen, but I like that one. So, I mean, I might have to wait till 2022 to put that back on, but we'll see.
I did not categorize mine like yours. That would have been good if I had. Maybe when we do them this year, we categorize them. So that way it's easier. And I have one that says, it says post on Instagram 3 times a week.
Oh, well.
I think I did that.
I think you do that, yeah.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I now, well, with the pandemic, it's a lot easier. So, like, mm-hmm. I think I do it, like, once a day or close to that. So that's pretty easy.
That's cool. The last one that I thought I would share was under spiritual, and it was travel internationally, someplace beautiful, have a restorative trip, not full of sightseeing.
Oh,
and
I
actually did fulfill that one, because the one trip that I did take this year was to Mexico, and we went to this kind of lake area that was so beautiful. This is my friend Erica and I went, and we basically just stayed in this really lovely little rustic resort that was kind of like, it was environmentally friendly. And, you know, we just stayed in that area for a week, and it was lovely. It was just relaxing, and, you know, you'd go down to the lake and you'd swim maybe, or you'd sit and read, or, you know, you could go for, you know, we'd go to town. And so it was really restorative. So I hope that maybe in 2021 I can do that again. We'll see.
That sounds nice.
Do you have any other resolutions?
The one that I did really well was walk 2 times a week in silence just to think. And I completely blew that one away. I do that every day now. So I'm like, yes, that's one resolution completely conquered. And so so now it's like a habit too. So like, I'm really happy about that. So I have some good things and some.
That's a triumph. Yeah. The one that I blew out of the water was to exercise regularly. And by regularly, I said at least 3 times a week. So that's, I pretty much exercise every day, like in a different, I do different things every day, but that's become a habit. So, all right. Well, why don't we also talk about kind of some highlights and lowlights of the year?
Oh, boy.
I know. Maybe we should start with lowlights so we can end on highlights.
Oh, okay. Why don't you start first?
All right. So, well, obviously the pandemic was a lowlight, but if I just take that away, I have to say work email again. You know, I talked last week about how I spent my vacation, you know, going through over 7,000 emails, you know, going back to January. And it just totally got out of hand again this year. And, you know, I do kind of blame the pandemic in a sense. And I also blame, you know, all of the, you know, the Disney sale at the beginning of the year, and then Jimmy books. And there was just like a lot of different really time consuming priorities that took priority. Well, both increased the number of emails I had and also took priority over kind of just going through my inbox. So that was a low light. How about you?
I guess my low light was more personal. Like, I think the low light was definitely during the George Floyd murder and all the aftermath. And I think it was, for me personally, it was a real reckoning with me and my family. I mean, I have obviously, I've mentioned it earlier, my father's pretty conservative, and it was a real, I guess a reckoning is the best way to put it, like in trying to resolve a way to reconcile a loved one's beliefs that are so different from yours, you know?
Right.
And that was definitely a hard low light and something that I'm still working on, obviously. So I think that to the election, honestly, because it's the greater world at stake, of course. But then there's that small, you know, microcosm in your own family that's just so painful, you know, and trying to figure out what the right thing is, like, and where do you go from there? You know, like, where do you go when you feel like there's been this, when you see this big chasm, you know, like between you or in the family. So, and do you just pretend it's not there? or you just bridge on the only safe ground, you know, like how detrimental that is to your relationship, you know, like, because all of a sudden what was once a full relationship is so fractured. So it's a really hard, that's been really hard for me.
That is really hard. And I think it's, well, not that this is necessarily your father, but I feel like this year, the differences of opinions were life or death in a way, you know? So the whole, with the pandemic, like the mask wearing, for example, was so politicized, and the paranoia and the denial of a lot of people that the pandemic was even happening. It was just, how do you even deal with that? You know, how do you talk to someone where kind of your core view of reality is completely different? It's just really, it's really hard.
You know, off on a tangent just a little bit, it's been interesting because I think this, a lot of people ask me, I mean, I get it quite often from kids. They're like, oh, we write another year of the dog book, because the year of the dog, the year of the rat, Dumpling Days, is very much based on my family, you know? And they often ask me, will you write another one? Will you write another one? And I'm always a little hesitant because I always feel like, you know, so much has changed since then. Like, and I feel like it's hard to write those books, but in a weird way, you know, maybe the election happening the way it is, and the whole idea of forgiveness and trying to find reconciliation and all those things. Like, I've been thinking about it and like trying to build bridges, and like there's a part of me that's like, oh, well, maybe this is the time to return to those books, maybe just to memorialize when things were strong and right in the family, you know, and maybe this is the right time to do that, to remember that and then go from there. I mean, that's just something that I've been thinking about a lot, is like how to find a way back, you know? So, and I was thinking, oh, well, maybe that's one way.
That's a nice thought. I think you should do it. Another thought is, what if you wrote from, you know, Melody and Pacey's children's point of view?
Yeah.
Kind of like Little Women, Little Men, Joe's Boys.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah, I'm not sure. I keep going back and forth. I feel like I should go back and write the year of the pig, because there goes the year of the dog, and then it skips to the year of the rat. And I feel like there's always been a missing book in between, you know? And so I always feel like that has always felt unfinished, you know? And I feel like maybe I should do the year of the pig. And then after that, it would be like our kids.
Yeah. Even though I don't have any, but that's okay. My fictional kids.
Yes. But anyway.
Yeah. So should we share some highlights?
Yes. Let's do some highlights. Go ahead. You first.
Well, my highlight, I think, is obvious, but it was meeting Stephen and having this magical time together here in Burlington. It really just, I mean, it has been the highlight, and it's been, you know, the most life-changing part of the year. So, yeah, I remember before my drive up to meet Stephen in person for the first time. This is before, obviously, I decided to move temporarily to Burlington, but I was just going for a long weekend. And I remember talking to some friends, and I just said, this is potentially a life-changing trip. And they're like, yeah, it totally is. And it really was. So that was my highlight. How about you?
Well, when you're talking about life-changing trip, it's so interesting because, you know, my husband, Alex, it was kind of similar because he lived in Canada, and we were like just emailing and talking like long distance for a while before he finally came. And I remember like when he came down that first time, it was like that same feeling, like this is like, I wasn't making the trip, but like him coming, this could be the life-changing thing, you know? So it's so interesting. It's like that momentous occasion.
Speaking of your husband, this is a complete tangent, but Stephen introduced me to the show 90 Day Fiancé. Have you ever seen the show?
No.
It's a whole reality series and on, you know, about couples who, you know, they, you know, it's one is American and the other one lives somewhere else and is a, you know, not an American citizen and has come to the U.S. on a K-1 visa. And, you know, just follows their stories and if or when they get married. And it's really fascinating. Anyway, I would recommend it. Maybe you and Alex would get a kick out of it.
Well, it's interesting because I think we probably got married a little bit faster than we would have if we were both in the same country.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the case with a lot of these couples, too. I mean, some of them have been dating for years, but most of them, it was just really, really fast, so...
But in some ways, I think that's good because it's kind of like, you know, I think I've also mentioned this before, like after Robert died, I'm like, you know, I don't really want to play games anymore. It's like, are you in or not in? Like, and honestly, him living in another country and having to come in on a K-1 visa, you know, like that, you have to decide. Like, so it forces the hand. And I think it works. It worked out well for us so far.
I would agree with that. So how about you? What was your highlight of the year?
So I don't think I have a single highlight, but I think the highlight has been being able to spend time at home with my family because it's been really nice to be home and not traveling. I mean, I just traveled so much before the pandemic and it was really hard on the family. Like I feel like I would leave and be gone for a while. And we rarely like FaceTimed or anything like that because it was Hazel just found it too hard to do that. Like it was better that when I was gone, I was gone, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, I would like slowly integrate into the family. And that was always kind of really hard. It would always take at least like 3 or 4 days to like that I was part of the family again. And then I would like leave like the next week. So it was always kind of like this transit of me coming back in the family and leaving and coming back in the family. And what's been really nice is that I haven't had to do that. And like now I really feel like I'm a real structured part of the unit now. So it's been a really nice thing. And I really like it. And it makes me feel like that is what I need to have a well-rounded life.
That's great.
That's been a really good highlight for me.
All right. So that was our look back at 2020. Stay tuned for our first episode of 2021. I think we're going to be looking forward to 2021. And now we'll end, as we always do, with what we're grateful for. I can start this week. So I am grateful for the opportunity to see the Northern Lights.
Oh, you saw them?
I kind of. Okay, so last week, my friend Jen, who lives in Connecticut, she texted me and said, hey, I've heard that you might be able to see the Northern Lights tonight and tomorrow night in Vermont. So I, you know, so Stephen and I looked it up and we did see that, yes, it looked like there was a very strong possibility that we'd be able to see it. That first night, it was like completely overcast. So, you know, we said, okay, let's go out the next day. It was Thursday. And, you know, it had to be around 10. So on Thursday, it was kind of partly cloudy, but we went out and, you know, we walked and it was kind of cloudy. So we thought, well, maybe we won't see it. But we kept walking towards the lake and we were kind of looking in the wrong direction. We're kind of looking towards Burlington because that's north, but then Stephen took out his compass and, you know, due north was like to our left. So we turned and we immediately saw this like glow in the sky and we're like, oh my gosh, like we think that's it. So we like kind of ran to the lake so we could get a clear view and you could see like, so, you know, we've been out there at nighttime before and there is nothing in that direction that would light up the sky, right? Mm-hmm. There's no city. It's just mountains. But the whole sky was aglow and you could see like hints of it. Like, so I actually took a photo and I put it on Instagram. And it's, I mean, it was beautiful. It was not like the Northern Lights in all of its like naked glory. And so that's something that I definitely do still want to see someday. But
did you see colors?
A little bit. You could see a little bit of like greenish color. So, but it was pretty cloudy. So, but there was a little bit, a patch without clouds. You could see a little bit of a kind of a greenish hue. So that was cool. So it was beautiful. And I, you know, it's been on my bucket list to see the Northern Lights and mm-hmm. It's still on my bucket list to kind of see it in its full glory, but it was just really great to be able to see that. So I am grateful
cool.
for that.
Was it really cold?
It wasn't too cold that night, actually. So.
Oh, really? That's so awesome.
It was great. So how about you? What are you grateful for this week?
So I am grateful for our second tree.
Oh, nice.
So I told the story last week about how we got our tree when it was snowing. And that's our main tree on the big tree that we have downstairs that we put all our family presents on. And then, you know, I've been decorating the studio. First, I just decorated it for Zoom. I'm like, oh, I'll make it like look festive in the background because I was doing this little reading for my newsletter. I did a reading of American Holidays, the Chinese Way, that chapter in The Year of the Dog. And so I read that for my newsletter subscribers. And so I wanted to make it look really festive in the background by putting like a little wreath up and everything. And then my husband Alex was like, well, we could put lights up too. So he put like lights up all over like the studio and it looked so festive. It looked so nice. I'm like, I was thinking, you know, there's room here. I could put a tree. And he's like, there's room for a tree in my studio. And, you know, my husband is such a good egg. And he's like, yeah, why not? So last Wednesday, it started to snow again. And I'm like, it's snowing. We can go get another tree. So
nice.
We did. And so
I wondered about that because I saw that on your Instagram and we thought, didn't they already get a tree?
We got a second tree and it's here in my studio and it looks so great. And it looks so happy. And I mean, I know one of your resolutions was to like make your condo like more homey. And it was not one of my resolutions, but I think it should have been was like to make my studio more homey, you know, like a much like my studio has really become kind of like my oasis. Right. So it's like all cozy and stuff and like doing these kind of things like the tree and the lights makes it feel so like nice and cozy and like just like a really happy place for me to be. So I'm really grateful for that. So I'm really grateful for my second tree and I'm really grateful for my cozy studio that I've been nesting in.
Yay.
And we're going to get a third tree too.
Oh, okay,
for the chickens.
Cool. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to Hachette Audio, Little Brown Books for Young Readers, and Alex at Pacey Work Studio for producing and editing this podcast. You can find me at Planet Alvina on Twitter and at Alvina Ling on Instagram.
And I'm at Pacey Lin on both platforms. We love hearing feedback, so keep tagging and messaging us on social media using the hashtag BookFriendsForever or send us a message via our website, BookFriendsForever.com. You can also see more detailed show notes there.
And if you have any suggestions for future topics to cover, please let us know. And of course, please remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you like this podcast, please tell a friend about it.
And don't forget to fill out the survey. We'll leave it open until the end of the year.
I'm Alvina Ling.
And I'm Grace Lin.
Have a great week.
A great couple weeks, actually.
Have a great, happy new year.
Yes, we'll see you next year. Happy reading.
Bye.